Welcome to Chat with a Cat. It's right here on KPAY Sports 1290. It is brought to you by Carl's Jr. as we talk with an influential Chico State Wildcat from the present, from the past, and today it's from the past. Claire Wayne, former Chico State softball player and really one of the leaders in the athletic department during her scholastic years here at Chico State, has joined us on Chat with a Cat. Claire, thanks for joining us.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I'm so glad Luke was able to set this up because as we venture into what would be postseason time for softball, this time of the year has to kind of bring some amazing memories for you, being the former softball player playing on probably the greatest team ever assembled in Chico State softball history. When you think of the month of May and you think of some of the great moments that you may have experienced during this month, it's got to bring a smile to your face.
Oh, absolutely. May is honestly one of my favorite times because all of a sudden it's like the weather gets warmer and all I can think of is like, okay, school's almost done and it's postseason. Because all 4 years I was in Chico State, we went to the postseason. So this is honestly, 2 years I've been out, it's always like, is fall coming up soon? Or
yeah, that has to be one of the greatest transitions when you're so used to that grind, you're so used to the competitiveness of it all, and then all of a sudden real world hits and you're like, oh, I'm not playing anymore and now I'm going to work. And I think for all athletes, when I talk to them, that is one of the biggest transitions.
Absolutely.
And when you look back on your Chico, let's go back to when you first chose Chico State, when you first said, you know, that's the place I want to be. I want to go back to that point because I always like hearing the stories, and I think the fans like hearing the stories about how some of the most influential athletes and some of the best athletes, you know, decided, you know what, Chico State's for me, because a lot of times it's not their first option. How did Chico State become the place that you wanted to be and continue not only your education, but your softball career?
So let's see. Oh my gosh. So long ago. I would say, so when I was a junior in high school doing all the college recruiting and everything, I remember being at a huge softball tournament, and Coach Shamblin gave my former coach, my travel team coach, Lena, a business card that had her name and, you know, Chico State. And I remember my coach coming up to me and, like, talking to me and going, hey, this is, like, a really good school. Are you interested? And I'm like, I don't know. I've never, you know, heard of it. And so me and Coach Shamblin started talking, and I started doing my research, being the person that I am, and looking at, like, what kind of academics do they offer, what are things like, what's over there. And I was like, well, this is interesting, this is different. You know, I'm from Southern California, so it's, you know, a little fast-paced up here. And looking into Chico, I was like, interesting. So my dad and I decided to go take a tour, I think like in October, my senior year of high school. And I mean, the second I stepped on campus, I knew that this was place. From like the trees to the friendly environment, one of my favorite things is you'd walk down the street and, you know, somebody would like smile at you, and I would always be like, oh my god, what nice people, I get that down here. And I just, after taking that tour, I was just like, yep, this is my place. There's nothing wrong with it. So
yeah. And when being from Southern California, is that transition difficult?
It was, you know, it wasn't one thing. I think the hardest thing that was for me was I was so far away from my family because I'm very close to my family. But then sometimes it didn't feel like I was that far away. So it was like, it was definitely a different change of pace, but I loved it. Like, I totally loved it.
We're talking with Claire Wayne, former Chico State softball player who really was a record setter. She sits atop the record books and in the top 10, top 5 in several offensive categories. Now, you first got here and you played third base as a freshman and a sophomore, but in your junior and senior years, you were a catcher. Was that something you had done before? too welcomed with open arms, or did Angel have to say, you know, Claire, we could kind of use you behind the dish, and I know you may not like it. I mean, how did that conversation go? What was that transition like?
Well, you know, I loved when I moved behind the plate, because that was always my position coming in. When, you know, at the time I came in, Bryn, if you remember the famous Bryn, was the catcher my freshman year. And so Shannon kind of utilized me other places like third base. And I was like, I am wherever you need me. I was very much at that place where it's like, if you need me here, I'm here. And if you need me here, I'm here. So I would say, and so I was just very open to the idea. However, when I did move behind the plate, that's where I felt best within myself, because I love catching. I love every aspect about catching. Third's very fast-paced and fun, but catching is just, I always felt like that was my jam.
did you realize how lucky you were to be playing in the postseason and playing deep into May when your career had finally wrapped up? I mean, postseason now is the goal. It's the conference tournaments, of course, regionals, getting to that regional and giving yourself a chance to get to the national championship tournament. But when you kind of sat back and say, boy, I was lucky. I mean, I could have, I could have gone somewhere and maybe never even sniffed the postseason, maybe had a great career and all, just like I did here at Chico State, but I may not have gotten to the postseason. Is there a deep appreciation for that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Through, like, kind of where I was choosing to go through college, you know, I was interested in some, like, lower-level Division I's, and I remember having conversations, but it's like you look at records, and it's kind of like, you know, I could have maybe done well myself personally, but then it's a team sport, and I loved everything about going to the postseason, and just there's nothing that will ever beat that rush. And then when I would ever talk to friends and, like, you know, it would always be, like, weird, like, to know that, like, the season ended in, would end in May. And I'm like, no, we are going, like, we have no intention. We never think of, like, oh, maybe if we get to the postseason. We always, no, we're going to the postseason. And now looking back on it, I really do am very appreciative of that time that I had. And, I mean, I'll never forget it.
Claire was a 269 hitter here at Chico State, ranks fourth in program history with 18 home runs, and she was a patient hitter, a power hitter with patience. Yes, sounds like her favorite player, Mike Trout, which we'll get into in a second. Yeah. 97 walks, the most of any player in Wildcat history. So you took the old Ted Williams axiom, find a good pitch to hit and hit it.
Yep, exactly. I was picky. You know, sometimes it worked really well for me, sometimes it didn't, but I tried to be as picky as I can.
And it proved to serve her well with the 97 walks, the most in Chico State history. She also started every game behind home plate in 2018, helping lead the Wildcats to that program record, that magical year, 55 wins, the CCAA, the NCAA West Region, and a trip to the NCAA Championship Finals in Salem, Virginia. And that is where we will take a break, because when we come back, we'll talk about that magical year. It was an amazing season that really had all of us that follow Chico State Athletics riveted. And as I've said on previous interviews, I spoke with Angel and I spoke with others. I do remember broadcasting on the radio the Chico State baseball games. And as soon as the doubleheader would end, the baseball team and all the fans would rush out of Nettleton Stadium, because if the Chico State softball team was playing, it was must-see softball. And everyone was taking that 20 to 30-minute break to make sure that they caught a glimpse of what was one of the great teams in Chico State history. And Claire was a big part of it. We will talk with her about it as Chat with a Cat continues right here on KPAY Sports 1290.
The Steakhouse Angus Thick Burger is back at Carl's Jr. The 100% Angus beef, topped with steak seasoning, lets you know it's premium. The dripping A1 sauce lets you know it's delicious. My elusive whisper lets you know it's decadent.
Go eat the Steakhouse Angus Thick Burger. Part of the Angus Burger lineup at Carl's Jr. Feed your happy. Available for limited time at participating Carl's Jr. restaurants. Price of participation may vary. A1 is a registered trademark of Kraft Foods.
This is Chat with a Cat, and we are talking with Claire Wayne, one of the standout players in Chico State softball history, and, of course, an instrumental player in the Wildcat run to the national championship tournament back in 2018. Chat with a Cat brought to you by Carl's Jr. All right, Claire, set the stage for what the season, how the team, you being one of the leaders of that team, how you envisioned that 2018 season that was so special, where it was so magical. Did you set out? I know you set out for postseason. You said that was the goal every year. But did you, at the beginning of the year, have an inkling that this team could be as special as it was?
I remember in 2017, like throughout fall and everything, a couple of things had happened with just some other, just like some team things had happened. And we were like really working hard, and we knew we all had the talent, but just it was, we didn't know what really we were expecting. And we got closer. We all started realizing, like, whoa, our bond was like crucial. And critical, I should say, critical. And it was like all of a sudden, like it was like all the stars had aligned. So when we hit into that like early January, that's like us late January, early February, it was like the second we all stepped on field, I remember playing that first game of the season and being like, oh, it's going to be a year. And so it was incredible. I mean, it was, our bond was just incredible. I've never been on a team like that. I can still vision every person, every player, what they do. And I knew them and they knew me and we knew each other. And I mean, it worked like clockwork.
You not only were beating teams, you were really steamrolling. And I think the fact that there were times where, you know, there'd be a close game here or there, but for the most part, it always felt, in watching guys from afar, that you were in control, total control.
Yes.
of the entire season and games. If you were down or if you were facing some adversity, I remember there'd be times, oh, they're down 2-1 in the fourth, and we'll say, well, they're going to figure it out. They're going to find a way.
Yes.
I mean, it was always that feel. And I'm sure if we're, as fans, feeling it from afar, you're, as a squad, you're feeling it too.
Oh, absolutely.
And it was magic.
It was always really funny. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go for it.
It was always really funny that, like, I remember being in some games where we're just like, we're sitting there and we're like, oh, we're losing. Figure it out. And it was never like, the thought of losing never really fazed us. We were always like, okay, not this inning, is going to be next inning. And then it always was the next inning when we were like, there was never that, like, oh my gosh, if we don't get it together right now, we're going to lose. It was always like, oh, we'll get there. In like a very, like you said, a very controlled matter.
There was great depth in that lineup. I remember, you know, the 1 through 9, I mean, you were all having great years. There had to be great confidence in that team, especially up and down that order, where it didn't really matter where you were in the order because a rally was just just one hitter away.
Yes. Absolutely, yes.
And what the feeling of having that when you know, I may not get it done, but I have great confidence in the two or three that are after me to find something to get started.
Yes, that was always, and that was something that was really special because, you know, typically you always have the way lineups work. You know, you always have your power five where you go through and you're gonna hit every person, and you know they're gonna get on, they're gonna hit. And then as you get to the end, you're like, oh, could be their way. But that was never the case in that lineup. I mean, it didn't matter where the person was, who was hitting, who was up. There was a chance either somebody's either going to hit a home run, get on base, or do something through 1 through 9 all the way.
Is there a bit of nervousness? And maybe nervousness is the wrong word. But when you do get into the postseason – and you are facing other really good teams that have the same goals that you have, when you are facing maybe a little bit of adversity. And I remember before you went off to Dixie, I believe you had to play. You played here in the sub regional, and there were some anxious moments. I mean, it was not the easiest. And
oh no,
you had to get through that. And sometimes when teams steamroll like you guys did for the entire season, when you do face a little bit of a May adversity, you can tense up a little bit. You get a little tight. I got the sense you guys didn't get tight, although you were pushed. You were challenged in those series in May.
Absolutely. I think that is a perfect way to describe it. We knew coming in that, like, all of a sudden, this isn't going to be the team who just wants to beat Chico State. This is the team who wants to go all the way. And so we both had, like, every team we play has that common goal in mind. We're not just trying to beat you. We're going all the way. And so, but for our team, we were very like, yeah, and so are we. So, and we are Chico State. So let's do this. And I mean, I just have vivid memories of that whole postseason where the first, the regionals that we played at Chico, I remember playing, I think it was an Idaho team, and then there was, I forget their name, then CU. And I had friends on CBU, which was super fun. And just like, there definitely were those moments of stress, but it was nothing that, like, I felt like that team could not handle. We enjoyed them. We welcomed them, you know?
Yeah. And it sounds like you can either fear the adversity, which probably doesn't work out well, or you can embrace it and bring it on and try to battle through it. And that's kind of the fun of it. And you face the challenges and you kind of get battle through it.
Absolutely, yes.
I have to ask this because this is the elephant in the room with that season. And I asked Angel the same question, and she is just like, yeah. But does the trip to Salem take away at all from the amazing ride you had for 4 months?
Definitely does not take away from the season, I feel. But just kind of like the few things talking about how, like, all season, whenever we'd face that adversity, like, we had control of the situation. And for some reason, when we went to finally, like, the World Series, we were going to Salem. It's all of a sudden, I think maybe there was a little, we are here anxiety. Like, oh, we did it. And now we're here. And that we kind of lost control of who we were as a team. And I agree, we didn't do as well as I, you know, would have hoped for. However, it doesn't, I mean, I will never forget the time I do. I can't even say it's not like we didn't play our hardest. We gave it everything we got. We just didn't, it wasn't clean for some reason, which is always a bummer. And I think that team, if I go back, I think that team 100% could have done it all the way. And I don't know what happened. For some reason, it just didn't. But it definitely doesn't take away from it.
And when you look back, I think there's that initial, but when you have a chance to sit back and look at it. Now, I think maybe the only person that is still like, oh, is Angel. But,
yeah.
But everyone else is fine. I mean, it's so great. I mean, it was so wonderful talking with her about it, because I expected kind of a pragmatic answer a little bit, and she was like, no, there's an element to that that still ticks me off, which, as a fan of the program and as a fan of her, it even makes her even more lovable, because you sit there and go,
yes.
Oh, she's so competitive, she's still thinking about something 2.5-3 years ago. So that's how you want your coach to be.
Yeah, exactly.
How was it playing for her?
It was amazing. I loved playing for Coach. We had so many fun conversations, and she really understood me as a player, and I really always enjoyed her. She'd always make me laugh. She'd always, you know, tell me not to stress. She knew I was a total head case, like I was very stressed all the time, and she really kind of helped me work through that, and so I loved playing for Coach Shamblin.
We're talking.
She's awesome. Coach Shamblin, if you're listening to this, you're a rock star.
Yeah, rock star, Angel Shamblin. Of course, we all feel that here in Chico still. We're talking with Claire Wayne, standout from Chico State softball program. She played between 2016 and 2019. We're going to take our final break. We're going to come back. She was way more. While she was at Chico State, she was way more than a softball player. She took on a leadership role, and her scholastic endeavors and her scholastic aptitude were very, very impressive. The awards that she garnered as a student athlete. Very impressive. And right now, Claire is a fourth grade teacher. We'll get into that and her love of Mike Trout and her love of baseball and going to all these ballparks. We'll talk about that in our final segment, Chat with a Cat, right here, KPAY Sports 1290.
The Steakhouse Angus Thick Burger is back at Carl's Jr. The 100% Angus beef topped with steak seasoning lets you know it's premium. The dripping A1 sauce lets you know it's delicious. My elusive whisper lets you know it's decadent. Go eat the Steakhouse Angus Thick Burger, part of the Angus Burger lineup at Carl's Jr. Feed your happy. Available for limited time at participating Carl's Jr. restaurants. Price of participation may vary. A1 is a registered trademark of Kraft Foods.
Welcome back to Chat with a Cat. We're talking with Claire Wayne, a great player for Chico State softball between 2016 and 2019, part of that magical team in 2018 that went to the NCAA championships in Salem, Virginia. All right, we talked about her academic prowess. Let's go over some of the awards. And I was joking with Claire off air. I said, it's going to take me about a whole segment to read this off, but here goes. Amazing. Amazing. If I could just have an honorable mention on any one of the 10 things that I'm about to read, I would have been thrilled. 5 CCAA all academic awards, the 2018-2019 Division II Athletic Directors Association Academic Achievement Award. And in 2019, named the COSIDA Google Cloud Academic All-District Softball Team. Named to that. Also, she was a member of Chico State Student Athlete Advisory Committee, or SAC, for 4 years and served as the organization's co-president in 2018 and in 2019. She received the 2019 CCAA Impact Award presented each academic year to one conference student athlete who's exemplified leadership through participation in community service and engagement activities while also maintaining a dedication to their sport and to their studies. She also earned a number of awards in 2019, including the university's Outstanding Student Leader, the Mac Martin Student Excellence Award in Leadership, and the Richard Dahl Female Scholar Athlete Award. She graduated from Chico State in 2019 with a bachelor's degree in communication sciences and disorders, and has gone on to receive multiple subject teaching credentials from the state of California, a master's degree in education and learning and teaching from the University of Redlands. All right, balancing that and that excellence, not only in the classroom, but also with community service and being a standout athlete. I always marvel because it takes an incredible commitment to organizational skills. And I always say, when do you sleep? When do you get time? I mean, that's what you do. There's no time really for anything else, I would imagine.
Nope.
Nope. talk about that.
So, I am probably me as a person. I'm a very passionate person. I commit to something. When I commit to something, it's, oh, I'm doing it. And I definitely got really good at utilizing all of my time throughout the day. Because, you know, I joke I didn't sleep. But I was also, I actually did sleep. And I was really good about, like, not pressing too much into my sleep for my other activities. Because I knew my sleep helped me perform. So then all the time I was awake, I really made sure I utilized it to the best that I can. I mean, no matter, it was like, I remember having a planner book and coloring blocks of, like, exactly what I was doing each half hour, pretty much. And so starting with, you know, we always had our morning weights, and then my classes all kind of changed throughout the year. I mainly had morning classes, and so, I mean, it would go from weights to morning class, so then I'll pencil in some library time here, grab a Starbucks here, because, you know, Starbucks really fueled my fire all throughout college, so really appreciative of that. Then I had practice in the afternoon, go home, take a quick shower, go back to the library, and then kind of with my work with Zach and everything, I really made an effort to be doing everything that I possibly could be doing. In that, you can ask Anita, but Anita's my favorite person, love that lady. We'd always joke that I remember ending the year kind of feeling like, oh man, I wish we could have done more. Like, I would have wanted to do X, Y, Z, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, Claire, are you kidding me? We did a lot. This is the most we've done in years. And so, I mean, it definitely, taught me some critical life skills that kind of I use today in teaching. I mean, I'm in charge of, you know, 25, 10-year-olds pretty much, and I have to be able to maximize and utilize my time to make sure they feel awesome as a growing human being, and then also make sure learning all that fun academic content that's going to take them far in life as well. So yeah.
it did, and that organization and that dedication and passion, I would imagine you bring to that fourth grade classroom. Those students see it, have a passion for life, find your passion. I've always felt that that is one of the keys to life. I mean, if you're going through life and you can't find a passion, I always felt bad for people that way. But I had teachers totally. In my life that had passions, and they kind of said, "Hey, follow your passion. That's important to follow, because life will be really fulfilling that way."
It is. It really is. And that's kind of how I take with teaching. You know, I'm a first year teacher. I'm only barely beginning my career. And I mean, everything I do, I love it. And I want to be that person for these kids. And it's like, to get kids excited about learning is something that like is a feeling that's like, I can't describe, you know, and it's get them like, and finding those connections and building those relationships. And that is my passion. And I really credit that. I feel like my style of teaching in the classroom, I credit a lot to my time at Chico's with my athletics, with my SAC, because it's all these skills that you don't think transfer over completely transfer over. And I was an intense, passionate person in softball, and that's how I am in the classroom. And then I was intense, passionate in all of my community work, and I really had a drive for helping people, and that's what you do in the classroom. It's crazy to see how they kind of all align.
You know, I read something somewhere where you're like a Disneyland fanatic. Is that true?
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness, yes.
Okay, so they're back open. That's the good news. But they have ended their annual pass program. Your thoughts on that whole thing?
You know, when they announced it, I kind of shed a tear, I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
I've been a pass holder for a very long time. That is my thing. I do it with my mom. We love it. I love Disneyland. And when they announced it, I was like heartbroken, because I was like, I go so often, and you know,
they lose money on you
to go, but it's a good deal.
Yeah. They lose money on you. They lose money.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, but the worst thing is though, the darn Disney is I'm going this Sunday. Actually, I paid the money for the ticket, and it kind of hurts knowing that like I was a pass holder. And I, you know, if I go five times in one year, I pay for my pass. And so now it's, you know, and now knowing myself, I'm like going to keep paying for those tickets.
Yep. Yes. Yes. Your sports hero, Mike Trout, are you an Angels fan?
Oh, yes. Big Angels fan.
Big Angels fan. And so you someday want to visit every major league stadium and collect a hat from each one.
Yes.
How far along are you on that?
You know, I have to say I'm not super far. I have Dodger Stadium, Athletics, Angels, and was it the Padres, I believe, are my – I only really have the California teams right now, but I keep saying, you know, last year I was hoping to do a little bit more, but, you know, because of COVID, that didn't happen. So
yeah.
I'm really hoping that towards over the summer and the next, like, four on – the great thing about being a teacher, I get summers off, so – that is definitely on my agenda for my life, because I think that would be so cool. I want to have a big case. I love baseball, and I love watching it and analyzing it. I love such my dad's what I do. So if he could accompany me on those trips, that would be even better.
Yeah, that sounds like it. That sounds well. When you do have summers off and they open these ballparks up, maybe it's a trek. Maybe it's a 2 to 2.5 month trek. Just save up some money and
see if that can.
Happen. Your thoughts on, I got to ask you this, because you said you're an Angels fan. And before we go, the Albert Pujols release, it's getting a lot of criticism around baseball. And it just seems like if you're going to have the guy for 10 years and then you're going to cut him loose in the final year of the deal, even though you got to let Jared Walsh and these other guys play because they're more productive, it just seems pretty rough and, the way it was done. But, I mean, he is not producing. Your thoughts on it.
Right. that, you know, I hate to say it, this could be a hot opinion, but I've said for years, I love Pujols. I love what he does. I love his community work. He's a great person, but I've been tired of Pujols for the last couple of years because he's slow. And it's like, he'll get a big hit, but if he gets on base, it's like, oh, we're done, because he's going to only move one base.
Yes, yes.
And it definitely is rough that, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it is rough that they did release him in his final year of his contract, because, like, you know, nobody really deserves that. Just because, you know, he's been a part of the program for so long, but then at the same time, he's not producing. And if you're not producing, we have other people who are, and the Angels are infamous for just almost being good enough and not at all.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's kind of like, I really feel this program needs a change. It's like we have a player like Mike Trout, who is just an absolute best player in baseball, and that's my hot opinion, who needs some players with him to take them to the World Series, and I think they can do it. But I don't know if Pujols, unfortunately, was along that same journey. It's just his time. I feel his time has come, you know,
yeah.
And that doesn't take away from how awesome he is. I just, you know, his time has come.
Yeah, and when you have a replacement, they have players on that team that can replace him. And, you know, I'm looking at the production of Walsh, and you said you can't play Pujols over Walsh right now. And you've got other pieces in place. It was a rough deal, but I think, you know, this game, it never hides your deficiencies. And when you are struggling and you can't do it anymore, boy, this game is the great equalizer, and that's what makes it so great. And
it really is. It really is. And, you know, it kind of enforces, like, you know, the team attitude too, because even though these are huge billion-dollar athletes who make a ton of money for being good at their sports, I just, at the end of the day, a team is a team. And it's like, if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, then we need to find somebody who does. And we've all dealt with that as an athlete. And so it's kind of like, but it's like, it's kind of, you have to yourself at it, you know, and
yeah.
Love Pujols, but he wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing.
Yeah. And there's always a day where the coach calls you in the office. There's always that
yeah.
day. And so,
oh, yeah.
And that's part of the whole deal. I know Claire and I could sit here and talk for another 30 minutes and break down Major League Baseball and every division and all the teams, but she has a Zoom class in literally a minute. So, Claire, we thank you for joining us. It has been such a pleasure. One of the greats in Chico State softball history, Claire Wayne. She's got a fourth grade class to teach right now in Rancho Cucamonga. So make sure you send some praise toward your teacher. They are so vital to the development of our kids. Claire, thank you for joining us, and have a great day, and best of luck to you in the future.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. What a wonderful time. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Claire Wayne, and she has been our guest today on Chat with a Cat, right here on KPAY Sports 1290.